On today's catch-up, should phones be banned in restaurants?
We talk to Wildcats skipper Damien Martin.
Perth's sausage king.
Wait, are you saying Damien's a sausage king?
No, I'm not.
And some very important domestic violence news.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5. RAC know that maps, music or messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up WA.
Now, Kimber, a popular Sydney family restaurant has joined this international trend by banning iPads and iPhones in the restaurant.
Oh, I saw this.
Now, they've gone quite a few steps further, actually, because they've also banned colouring in books and board games and building blocks, which I find a little weird.
Yeah. He kind of cracked the sads a bit because a family left all the crayons and dirt and drew on the tablecloths. Yeah, it was just a bit of bad parenting, maybe.
Or give him a piece of paper, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not the first restaurant to do this. So there's a couple in Sydney CBD that require guests to or patrons to surrender their phones upon entry. And one place that gives you a free glass of wine if you will surrender your phone for the duration of your meal.
Well, that's a bit of a better incentive.
Yeah.
I don't like handing my phone over just because I'm like, come on, it's my personal property. I'm a grown up and if you tell me not to use it, I just won't use it.
Yeah.
I can follow instructions. I don't need to be told, like, you know, I don't need to have it taken from me.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, and nothing annoys me more than hearing someone else's conversation when I'm in a restaurant. I don't know why it's different hearing someone on the phone to someone talking to a physical person in front of them.
Because they're usually louder.
I think that's what it is, yeah. But this gentleman who's done this has said, no, we want to encourage families to connect over food and to get away from their devices.
Which is a cool idea, but I sort of feel like I've seen parents with their kids at the dinner table.
Yes.
And it's not easy. Like, most families don't get to go out that often, and they go out to a restaurant and the kids might be trying to run around, or they're misbehaving, or they haven't had enough sleep, and the families are just trying to enjoy a meal, and it's pretty hard to keep your kids entertained.
Yeah, right.
You know, but also I'm the person at the table across the way with no kids thinking, I don't want kids running through a restaurant. I don't want them being difficult. I just want to eat my meal in peace as well.
Okay, well, let's put it out to the people of Perth.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Kimber, this restaurant in Sydney that is banning phones and iPads and whatnot in the hope that families will connect more over food.
Yep.
And so we're asking, you know, how do you feel about these devices being banned from restaurants? Kieran, he's 12, right?
Yep.
So we can't put him to air because he hasn't got his parents' permission yet. He's on his school bus going to Emmanuel Primary School.
Yep.
He's called in. He's totally onto
Thanks, Kieran.
And he said, like, no, that's ridiculous. Then I have to spend time with my boring family. So, you know.
Well, that just sums it all up, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, a bit of heart for the kids. I don't want to be speaking about mortgages or what I did at school today. God, good on you, Kieran. Have a great day, buddy.
Let's check in with Angie in Kelmscott. Angie, what do you think about the idea of banning devices at restaurants?
Morning, guys. I think banning's a bit far, but I like the idea of more, like, positive role modelling.
Yes.
Like, for instance, in my house, we don't have phones at the table. Never been a thing. Kids never had iPads. And I think if we all were in restaurants, instead of being on our phones, we interacted with our kids and those around us, then it's become, like, weird to be on your phone.
Mm,
so,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, so if we went back to, like, you know, even, like, my kids are 15 and 12 and there wasn't iPads, so we did, like, random things like, you know, colouring in Uno. You know, like things like that where you're actually interacting with your family, and then so it was like it's the normal thing to do that rather than being on your phone. Because with our lifestyles being so busy, you're not, like, people don't sit at the dinner table anymore, they don't interact, and we're losing that magic.
Oh, yeah.
That is a bit harsh. And I must admit, if someone told me I couldn't go in a restaurant if I have to put my phone in a box, I would go somewhere else.
Sure,
yeah,
but
yes.
I think incentives, you know, free ice cream would be great.
Mm.
And let's make it normal to interact at the table and not on our phones.
Isn't it weird that we're even having this conversation? Like, it is weird that we have to make it normal to put our phones down.
Yeah, and I guess, as you were saying, Kimber, you know, we're always told as a couple that don't, you know, if you've got kids, you've got a busy life, make sure you make time for each other.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if by giving the iPad to your children gives you 5 minutes to reconnect,
yeah,
while they're busy, then is that such a bad thing?
Well, let's see. Mel's in Ocean Reef. Mel, what do you think about phones or devices being banned at restaurants?
No, I think you've got to look at both sides of the coin here. Like, you know, you go to restaurants, yes, and I know you see kids who, on their iPads and on their phones playing games and texting to their friends and that sort of thing. But, you know, you also got to look at the situation where certain people may rely on that phone,
sure,
maybe for health reasons. I'm not saying for work. You go out to dinner with your family, you don't take your work with you, you leave that home. But, you know, some people have medical conditions, some people have, like they have food allergies and things like that and can get quite ill from it. So I don't see a problem. As long as you keep your phone on the table and keep it on silent and it's not dinging and buzzing all night, annoying, you know, the other people in the restaurant, you know, it's like a double-sided thing here. You know, okay, I mean, I allow my kids to take them, but I say, you don't sit at the table and you don't play games while we're eating. You know, we're going there as a family. You know, not that we go out that much.
Yeah,
but my husband likes to eat at home.
Do you think, Mel, that, you know, this is the thing, is that this is now restaurants deciding how you parent? Like, you know what I mean? It's one thing for you to decide whether your kids are on devices or not, but now we've got restaurant owners telling you what to do.
No, that's not right. No. Other thing is, you know, okay, yeah, I mean, I consider bad parenting when I've gone out and there's kids running through the restaurant and making a nuisance of themselves, you know. And we were out about 4 years ago and one kid was just being an absolute little bugger and he knocked a waitress down and she had a tray with food on it, you know.
Yeah, wish he had an iPad. Thanks, Mel.
Yeah, good on you, Mel. Let's go to Helena Valley. Nikki, do you think this is a good idea, banning devices from restaurants?
I think it's pretty sad that restaurants are dictating how we parent.
Sure.
But no, I think it is a good idea, and it's a bit of a reality check to us parents that think it's okay for the kids to be on their devices while, you know, you're out for a meal or whether you're at home. But, you know, like that previous caller said, there are times for medical and that's, you know, that's fine. But there's nothing worse going out with your family and the people at the table next year on the phone and they're so freaking loud.
Yeah.
And they're on the phone for ages. Like, it is quite annoying. Like, growing up when we went out for dinner, it was sit at the table and do as you're told. Like,
we had to be bored by our parents' conversations. That was part of going out. You've got to, that's how you learn to adult.
Yeah, and I think bringing kids back into reality of it's not all about your phone. I mean, I say to my 17-year-old, you know, your generation, your kids are going to be born with a freaking mobile phone in their hands. Because, you know, I have to surgically remove it from my son every now and again. And it irks me. And it irks me when people are out trying to have a nice dinner and somebody's on their phone waffling crap.
Yeah, good on you, Nikki. So true. And I guess, you know, the Look Up campaign that we're working with RAC at the moment, I mean, there is a real push now to say, we're letting these devices rule our life.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to stop it and live again.
Yeah, how do we do that?
Oh, God knows. You're asking
Google
the wrong
it.
Man. Yeah.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Yes, it is only their 33rd consecutive post-season final series. Captain Courageous Damien Martin. G'day, buddy.
Oh, good morning. I like hearing that introduction because there was a little bit of nerve-wracking time around the mid-season when we weren't playing our best basketball, but to lock in the minor premiership after what has been a roller coaster of a year,
yeah.
You know, now we can't wait for next Thursday when game one of the semi-finals tips off.
Yeah, now next Thursday, because of course you've got the bye week while the Australian team are in Kazakhstan. What are you doing with the time off?
Well, Kimber, I'm sorry to do this, but can you just read out how you spelt Kazakhstan in your notes?
I spelt it Kazikstan.
Close enough.
Because I just thought sometimes you want to do it phonetically so you don't mess it up.
Sure. I know.
Kazakhstan.
Just created an international incident, but carry on.
Yeah, no, the Australian team. So they made up the Australian team with players from the four teams that didn't qualify, as well as some players from abroad, including Mitch Creek, who had a little stint in the NBA earlier this year. So it's a few veterans and then a few guys from teams not playing postseason basketball. So they'll play Kazakhstan and then return for the finals. So I can't wait to get over there. To play here on Thursday, and then we jump on a plane and play Brisbane for game two on the Saturday. So a quick turnaround.
Oh. Yeah, totally. And what's you know, against Brisbane, how many times you play them this year? At least twice.
Yeah, so you play each team four times.
Four times.
And we've gone 2-2, I believe.
Oh,
really? Two wins, two losses. So, yeah, they beat us quite convincingly up in Brisbane last time we played them. Bryce Cotton hit a game winner to beat them here at RAC Arena. So, yeah, it's been tight battles throughout. They've obviously got the Australian Boomers head coach as their coach and a couple of guys I've called a teammate at different times with the Australian team. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup.
Well, the media will have us believe that Bryce Cotton's in the corner crying over not winning, you know, MVP, and that you're devastated because you haven't got most defensive player. What's actually going on for you all?
Well, we're surprised that Bryce didn't win MVP, and not completely surprised that Bogut won instead, but more so when the votes came out, how far back and in third position, he wasn't even runner-up. So I would love it if so the captains, the assistant coaches and the head coaches all vote. And I would love it if we made those scoring public, because there's no way Bryce Cotton shouldn't have got max votes,
sure,
at least for first team All NBL. Yet when the votes were revealed, not everybody even put him in the top three guards in the league. So I think a few people may have been voting according to who they like as a person, opposed to who deserved it as a player.
Do you think the players would appreciate it if it went to like a Brownlow where the referees did the voting?
Yeah, I think it's got to that time now where take it out of the control of coaches, players, people who are emotionally attached to the game and, you know, do have rivalries with different players or opponents, coaches. So take it out of our hands, get some people that are going to be unbiased and go from there. In saying that, you know, Bogan and Bryce were the two standouts of the year alongside Casper Ware. But when the votes were revealed, to see how far back he was, that's what was really surprising.
Well, yeah, we've gotten away with this for a long time too, because not only were you the best defensive player and are the best defensive player, but you are also a really nice guy. So we've been able to just vote on the nice guy thing, and you've been thinking it's because of your skills.
Well,
you're the best defensive and less offensive person we know.
The most extreme basketballer you'll ever see. Yeah. Well, funnily enough, I voted for Bogut to win defensive player of the year, so I wasn't opposed to that one iota. But yeah, I'd love to make it public that who you voted for, everyone should know, so that it'll take away from voting based on personal preference opposed to skill and talent.
Yeah.
Look, it's a remarkable thing. 33 years. I mean, we were celebrating Rick Arden and Sue you know, breaking the world record of 34 years in the news. I mean, it's extraordinary. Are there other teams that have achieved this kind of thing?
No, so it's actually a world record for top tier leagues across any sport. So as far as we know, at least that's what we get told. So when Jack Bendat walks in and tells us we need to be number one, there is that pressure that you don't want to be a part of the team that ends that streak because you might as well pack your bags and start looking for a new club. But because of that pressure, it also helps you rise to the top and go those, you know, extra lengths when you think you might take a shortcut. You're like, oh no, we can't.
No,
it's been huge to be a part of, but then occasionally you'll get like a Ricky Grace walk into the stands to watch training, so the intensity rises, or Andrew Vlahov comes in, you're like, wow, this streak has been since even before their days.
Yeah.
So it's something we're very proud of, and we do get reminded when we're losing that if the streak ends, say goodbye to your job. So we are reminded.
We up our game in radio a bit when you come in too, just a bit.
Oh mate, well, best of luck. That will be February the 28th at Perth Arena, and good luck.
Thank you, and you'll see Bryce. No more tears. He's going to be a superstar again.
Brilliant, great, mate. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Kimber, if you're in Greenwood, you must go to Barbadol Brothers Quality Butchers, because they have just won or crowned in the most popular category of traditional Australian beef sausages in the National Sausage King competition.
They're the Sausage Kings.
And we know that, you'd love a sausage.
Well,
who doesn't?
Been vegetarian for some time, but I know that people bang on about their sausages. And so Stefan from Barbaro Butchers, how are you, Stefan?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, Stefan, congratulations, first and foremost. So what goes into making a great sausage?
Oh, look, we stick to a simple, nice, fresh quality meat and fresh ingredients. So, excuse me, we're lucky enough we've got our own farm. So we certainly think that this year the edge over the rest was having our own cattle. And so we've sort of got a paddock to plate.
Cool, yeah.
Routine, yeah, and we think that's what pulled it off.
Well, Stefan, you guys have said that you shift about a ton of sausages per week in the summer months. I had no idea that so many people were barbecuing. Do you find that with MasterChef and My Kitchen Rules and these things, now that people want a little bit more in their sausage than they used to have?
Yeah, I think they're sort of recognised as more of a gourmet meal now. You'll find a lot of people will have choose a good quality sausage before they have a steak and other things, because you sort of know you're going to get a nice meal out of it now, so...
And Stefan, well, you know, the question when one is cooking a sausage, to prick or not to prick?
I'm certainly against it, heavily against it, I should say. Yeah, I feel that you're letting all the flavouring, all the juices out of it.
Yes, that's
okay, that's an important thing to note, actually. So now, Stefan, is this your responsibility? If you go to a barbecue, A, do your mates make you bring the meat? And B, do you have to cook it?
Quite often I get stuck with both of those, which I'm quite happy to do. I don't really like cleaning, so I'm happy to stand on the barbie and toss the sausages, no problem.
Oh, me too. I love it. And you can stay away from the small talk when you're running the barbecue.
Exactly right.
And, mate, I noticed that in the judging, and I'm really interested in this because often when one is, you know, buying a sausage, all you're looking at is the raw product. And I noticed that the judges do judge raw sausages. How do you tell if a sausage is good just by looking at it?
Oh, look, the better sausages, in my opinion, are the ones you can sort of see the red specks of meat through it.
Yep.
When you've got a sausage that's very pasty, it's quite fine. And I guess, yeah, the finer you mince it, sort of you're hiding other things. So.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, congratulations on you, your brother and your dad taking out the Sausage King competition. And, you know, big national competition too. Hope it brings many more customers your way too.
Thank you very much, guys. Yeah, it's awesome for our family and our little business. So we're over the moon.
Yeah, well done, buddy. And I noticed you also won something in the poultry category as well. And Tim Lorden, our lovely team here at Mix 94.5, rates you highly. So well done.
Appreciate it, guys.
He doesn't like many people, so consider yourself very, very, very blessed.
It's only our sausages.
Good on you, mate. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
How's that? Do you know Australians spend $660 million on 94,000 tonnes of sausages every year?
Bloody hell, that would fix the economy.
How are we even raising enough animals to do that? Where are we putting them all?
Yeah, but you're assuming there's meat in sausages. That's why they're called mystery bags.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Now, I don't know about you, Matt, but I am actually sick of feeling controlled by my devices. My phone has too much power. And so it's actually a welcome relief to drive in the car and have the thing turned off because it's an excuse to just be away from it.
Absolutely. And that's why we're joining forces with our mates at the RAC to say, look up from your phone, drive properly, don't be distracted, and get there safely.
Yeah, look up.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, big changes coming to WA tenancy laws, which were long overdue and they were passed by State Parliament yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This is great news because the new laws will provide more options and greater support for people who are experiencing family and domestic violence.
Okay.
And, like, we know that housing is one of the biggest obstacles when it comes to leaving a domestic violence situation because victims have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Or they might be financially tied to a home with a violent partner.
Yes.
So it's very difficult, but these are great new laws that have come in that really offer support. They're things that include being able to terminate a tenancy agreement within 7 days if you can provide the landlord with evidence of domestic violence, such as a restraining order or a letter from a medical professional,
yep.
Which is great because it means you don't have to go through the court system.
Mm.
And it's very hard to break a lease. We all know how hard it is to get out of
yeah.
tenancy. And so when you're in that situation and for your safety you need to leave, to be able to do that within 7 days is a huge change.
Yep.
They also give you the rights to be able to stay in the home if you like and to remove the perpetrator's name from the tenancy agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to change the locks immediately without permission from the landlord. You know, there are people living in situations right now where they are so unsafe that they need to change the locks.
Yep.
And you can't do that without permission. And that has been obviously putting people in dangerous situations.
Yes.
And being able to install CCTV security at their rental home at their own cost. So if they want that for their security, they can do that too.
Okay.
So big changes. And these laws are due to come into effect in mid-April. But that is going to drastically change some of the situations that we live with domestic violence in our city.
And it all sounds completely logical and it's fantastic that it's happening and you know, not before time.
No, that's the thing. And you know, these things aren't easy and they want to make sure that no one's going to take advantage of
sure.
the situation. The last thing we want is people out there pretending that they're in a terrible situation just so they can break a tenancy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's not what they're looking at. There is more serious things in place to make sure no one's taking advantage. But just great to know that the safety of people is being is paramount and yep. that's being put first. I went down yesterday to the Breathing Space program run by Communicare, and that's actually male perpetrators who are going through a program to change their behaviours and to stop offending.
Yep.
And, you know they've committed crimes. They know that they need help and they need to face their own demons. Yep. And, you know, we need to accept that people have to be able to change their behaviour in order to stop domestic violence.
Absolutely.
But I applaud the state government for making these changes because that is going to drastically help people who are in really tricky situations.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, and especially for the people who maybe don't quite have a grasp of domestic violence, don't really understand and might be the people who say, why doesn't she just leave or why doesn't he just leave?
Yes, it's not always that easy.
Which is, you know, why doesn't the person stop abusing?
Sure.
However, it's not easy to get out. It's not easy to leave. And these state laws will absolutely help that. So thank you, state government, for doing something. Thank you for stepping up.
That's great. Well, of course, we know how passionate you are about this subject, and that's great that we're making roads forward.
Yeah, right? Just keep making the changes. That's all we can do. It's really good news. So mid-April, that will come into effect.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Jen, you got to lift your game. I don't know how you missed this story. now, Kimber, for many people, we know that a wedding, it's a big deal.
Yeah, special time.
It's a lot of money spent, and people want it to be a day to remember.
Well, at least that's the impression we get from other people, because neither of us have gotten married.
Can't speak for it. Well, no, you see, because of course my girlfriend T, who you know very well, is a celebrant.
Yes.
So I have actually been privy to watching, you know, young, well, couples, not necessarily young, in my kitchen as they go through the little, this is what we want, and, you know, everyone's got a little detail. Maybe someone wants a horse-drawn cart or wants Superman to, you know, everyone's got a little thing. So, you know, quite surprising, I guess. This bride is a vegan, no problem there. But she's gone to the level of banning all non-vegans from her wedding.
And I'll live on vegetables and I'll grow on seeds. But I don't need animals and they don't need me. Oh, no.
Oh, Melanie.
It's going to be a lonely wedding.
Well, this is
cheap,
including...
Cheap as.
Oh, yeah, too, right.
Just some asparagus.
Some CCs.
And only for five of us.
That's family as well.
Everyone's
family and
been
bridal
banned.
Party have been banned.
Oh.
I mean, you know, and look, she said, just for some context, and it's her day, she can do whatever she wants, their day. She said, some family members were told they were not invited to my wedding because we don't want to host murderers at our wedding, which is supposed to be one of the happiest days of our life.
Assuming that they're out there killing the pigs themselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, just don't have it on the menu.
It's tough, you know. It's one of these things where I'm like, vegans don't do themselves any favours by being that type of vegan.
Well, no.
But I'm like, it's tough because it's the meat eaters who bring up my vegetarianism all the time.
Yes, understood, yes.
No vegan or vegetarian has ever said to me, hey, let's get preachy about what we eat. I'm going to tell you what to do. But meat eaters, my God, do they love bringing it up at all conversations. So I'm kind of like, maybe on your wedding day, you don't want to just, because if they served vegan food, imagine all the people at the tables going, oh, God, there's no meat here.
Sure.
Like, it is exhausting to listen to.
Okay. I take that point. I mean, this lady has said, I'm sorry if that makes me rude, but I'm not compromising the ethics that I share myself and with my fellow vegans. And then she says, yeah, I guess blood isn't thicker than water, which I find a strange analogy, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like they should be better off having everyone there so they all go, oh, wow, this vegan food's actually amazing and we should shut up.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, you know, we drive to work at 4:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay, so we might pass maybe, I don't know about you, Maddie, I pass about 5 to 10 cars on my way here.
Yes.
There's very few on the road. So how is it possible that I still find myself stuck behind a bad driver? I don't know how this happens. They fall into different categories. I don't know how to describe this guy. But
I'll see if I'm in one of these.
He was one of these guys, right? He races off from the lights.
Okay.
Like foot down, takes off from the lights as quick as he can, gets in front of you, and then does 12 Ks below the speed limit.
Oh, that's annoying.
Now, who is that guy? Because I keep seeing
his name's Jeff.
You know what? He had a personalised plate.
Oh, did he?
And
okay.
So I know what his name is. But he gets in front 12 Ks under. Now, I would forgive it ordinarily, but at four sets of lights, this guy did it.
Okay.
So that makes me indicate, that indicates to me he's either trying to annoy other drivers.
Or trying to impress you.
Really?
Maybe.
What bit do you think was impressive?
Well, that he's such a fast starter but knows how to make things last.
I say fast starter and then a total letdown.
Okay, okay.
But, you know, or he's a terrible driver and he has no idea he's doing it. But what are you supposed to do in that circumstance? I didn't race him off the lights. I just thought, okay, well, he clearly wants to be in front. Sure. But then we all have to sit behind him.
Sure.
What are they thinking? Are we supposed to tell them that they're doing this or do we just let it happen?
Well, these things are sent to test us.
Yeah, right.
And that's when you roll down the window, breathe in some air and go, whatever.
It doesn't
I'll go
matter.
45 as well.
Yeah, that's good advice.
But dude, we know who you are.
Yeah,
Kimber is going to be looking out for you, Mikey or whatever your number plate says.
It was a very distinctive car and a very distinctive license plate.
Okay. You calm down now?
I'm calm. Beautiful. I'm calm, but I know I'm going to see him again.
You will.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Good morning, Shane in Ellenbrook.
Oh, good morning. Hi.
Shane, we're going to put you under a bit of pressure. We're going to give you a category and a time limit. You just need to provide the correct answers. And for each correct answer, you'll win $10. But if you get all of them, $250 is yours to spend.
Oh, my God.
All right, Shane. We're going to put 15 seconds on the clock for you. And your time will start once I've given you the category. Shane, we need you to list 8 Pink songs. Go.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Pink. I love Pink. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't. Oh, I'm blank. Oh, my God. I can't.
Oh, Shane. Now, if Oh, My God was a Pink song, you got all 8.
Yeah, all yeah. for sure. Isn't it the worst?
I'm so sorry, guys.
Shane. You don't need to apologise to us. We get it. I hear a ticking clock and I absolutely freak out.
Oh, yeah. That's probably is. Oh, can I go with that?
So, Shane, just in case, you know, of course you'll know all of these. We've got Sober, we've got Raise Your Glass, we've got Beautiful Trauma, yes. Just Like Fire. What about us?
Get the party started.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. yeah, I need them all.
I relate to this all the time, Shane. Don't worry. You're amongst friends. But have yourself a fantastic day.
No problem. Thanks for the chance, guys.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
There he was, the elegant, seductive croon, Brian Ferry.
Ah.
He is in town from Roxy Music and, you know, he played his first shows of 2019 last week in South Africa and tonight he's going to be performing at Kings Park for A Day on the Green.
Okay.
And fans are going to get a bit of everything at the gig, I think, because at his gig last week he was doing lots of Roxy Music hits as well as his solo stuff.
Yeah.
And tonight you'll also get to see Kate Sobrano's I'm Talking, Models and Stephen Cummings. So it's going to be quite a gig.
Yeah.
And Claire-Z chatted with Brian Ferry recently and this is what he said.
The years fly by and it's a great way to spend them is making music and touring around the world playing it. And very lucky that I've kind of built up kind of an audience of people who, you know, like my music over the years.
He's built up a bit of an audience.
Yeah, and reports from South Africa were that it was a really good concert.
If you're going along to the gig, enjoy that tonight. It sounds like it's going to be a great one. And now, also too, a retired optometrist is suing Gwyneth Paltrow for $4.3 million over a skiing accident.
Right, we clearly didn't see her.
Terry Sanderson says he was skiing at Deer Valley Resort in Utah and Paltrow was skiing out of control and crashed into him.
Yes.
And he said in his lawsuit he was knocked out, he suffered a brain injury and 4 broken ribs.
Really?
Yeah, he referred to it as a hit and run and is seeking $4.3 million in damages. But Gwyneth is countersuing, saying she was just enjoying a skiing trip with her family on vacation and this guy ploughed into her back.
Right.
And that's been backed up by one of the employees there that says, actually, Terry was the uphill skier who came down into the back of Gwyneth and caused the collision.
I'm getting confused. I don't know how you ski uphill, but carry on.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was the uphill skier going down.
Got it
and,
now.
And here's the kicker. The plaintiff admits that he doesn't remember what happened.
No.
So good to get $4.3 million, but he doesn't recall what actually happened.
Yeah, and that's not going to work. Time. Judge Judy will not let that go through.
Not at all.
No.
And as you know, Maddie, music biopics are all the rage right now. We had Bohemian Rhapsody, which had the crowds enthralled, and Elton John's Rocket Man is coming in May.
Yes.
And now, Motley Crue. Rock and rollers Motley Crue, they lived the dream. They had the women, the booze, the hotel rooms, and now we can relive it. Netflix are going to be releasing The Dirt, which is based on the tell-all biography by Motley Crue in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Which was The Dirt, Confessions of the World's Most Notorious Rock Band. I guess when you create your own autobiography, you can call it whatever you like.
You can, is there anything they can tell us that we don't already know about rock stars' life, though?
I don't know. But, I mean, you know, it's a biopic. You're going to see them growing up. You're going to see them from the beginnings of getting the group together.
Yes.
And it sounds like this.
Whoa.
If I can get it to play.
That's a serious... Oh.
If we want to knock people on their asses, then we've got to give them a show. I'm talking like a stadium show in the clubs. The fans, they're dying for some anarchy. So let's give it to them.
I work for Electra Records. You guys like a record too?
It could be big.
Oh, yeah, it sounds all right.
The thing is, they've made it easy because it's on your Netflix. You don't even have to go to the cinema. So March 22nd is when you can see Motley Crue's The Dirt.
I'll be watching that one for sure.
And that's your Daily Juice.
Great work.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Good morning, Lisa from High Wycombe. How are you?
Good, thank you. And yourself?
We're great. We would love to give you the chance to win $50K, but straight up we're going to give you the $100 Crown gift card so you can spend that however you like.
Excellent. Sounds wonderful.
Off to a good start. Now, Lisa, let's get you in the running for this $50K giveaway. You just need to answer this simple true or false question from last night's episode of Channel 7's My Kitchen Rules. Here we go.
Okay, Lisa, your question is, Matt and Luke's instant restaurant was rugby-themed. Is that true or false?
False.
Okay, let's go have a listen.
Our instant restaurant is called Power Play.
It is everything Big Bash. It is lights, it is colour, it's excitement, it's fireworks. Tonight we're hoping to convert people to cricket and to our beautiful food.
You have cooked up the right
answer.
Nice
Lisa.
One.
Off to the casino, double on black.
And also, I'm just in my, if it was me, I'm not sure if I'd know the difference between the cricket and the rugby theme.
And
well
I'm
played.
Just thinking, Matt and Luke, you need to get a life. But there you go. Hey, Lisa, congratulations. You're now one step
so
closer
much.
To winning 50 grand and the ultimate luxury crown experience at Crown Perth.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Enjoy that $100 gift card and play responsibly. Are we supposed to say that?
Nah, stuff it.
Thanks,
awesome.
Lisa.
Thank you.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
It is your last chance ever to see the legend Elton John in Perth, and we are giving away tickets in the very front rows for his farewell tour right now. We have got tickets up for grabs in row 2. Good morning, Damon in Alkimos.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very well.
We're good, thanks, buddy. I think you know how it works. We're going to ask questions related to Elton John. You've got to answer them correctly to keep playing. If you get one wrong, we move on to the next caller. Basically, you need to answer question 5 correctly to win. You ready to kick it off?
Certainly am.
Okay,
go.
Buddy.
Okay, Damon, first question. Which Elton John song features the lyrics, "She packed my bags last night, pre-flight, 0 hour, 9 a.m.
That would be Rocket Man.
Correct.
Yes, correct, Amundo. Question 2. This is a multiple choice. How old is Elton John? A, 71, B, 76, or C, 82?
A, 71.
On fire early, Damon.
Right.
On fire early.
Damon, question 3. Who did Elton John sing Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me with at Live Aid in 1985?
Ooh,
Need an answer.
You think you got me there?
Sorry, buddy. Oh. Unlucky. It was off to such a good start. Let's go to Mike in Maylands. Mike, who did Elton John sing Don't Let the Sun Go Down With Me at Live Aid in 1985?
Was it George Michael?
Correct.
It was indeed. Okay, Mike, stay with us. Question four. This is another multiple choice. Elton John's farewell tour is called A, Rocket Man Still Flying, B, Farewell Yellow Brick Road, or C, I'm Still Standing.
Farewell Yellow Brick Road.
B, that is correct. Question five, Mike. Here we go. Get this one right and you'll be at row two. Finish this Elton John song title. I guess that's why they call it...
The Blues.
You bet your buddy! Yeah! All right, Mike! Oh, someone's happy in the background too.
She's going off.
Oh, brilliant, man.
Big Elton John fan, Mike?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Missed out on tickets.
Well, my friend, you are going to be at row two. You've scored tickets, row two, to see Sir Elton John. How good is that?
Awesome, I couldn't afford that.
No. No,
no, it's a great gig. You're going to have a great time. Well done, Mike. Well played.
Cheers, guys.
RAC knows maps, music or messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up, WA. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.